Welcome to the Carey Church Podcast. For more information regarding Carey Church, visit www.carey.asn.au.
This morning's reading comes from Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight.
Thank you, Pete. I use this one. Thanks. Good morning again. All right, well, this morning I'm going to put you guys to work right up front. I'm going to show you some quotes. These are supposed to be wise quotes. And I want you to try and figure out who made the quote. Now, I'll give you a clue. All of the quotes are from famous movie characters. Just a little slip there to give you another clue. Let's have a look at the first one. If my little thing's working. There we go. Was that me or you, Sue? Me, great. Here's the first one. Always pass on what you have learned. Now, if you're really brave and you think you know it, yell it out. I'm going to give you a clue for this one as well. And forgive me, I've practiced this at home, but I'm not sure it's going to work. Always pass on what you have learned. Ah, it wasn't too bad. No, practice paid off. All right, well done, sir. All right, next one. With great power comes great responsibility. Wow, who was that? Excellent. Spider-Man. It wasn't actually Spider-Man. It was from Spider-Man. It was, of course, Uncle Ben talking to Spider-Man. Very good. Hey, ooh, this is going really well. All right, next one. It takes a great deal of bravery to stand up to our enemies, but just as much to stand up to our friends. I am absolutely flabbergasted. Well done, Simon. I'm going to have to get harder quotes next time. All right, well done. Let's see who's paying attention to this one. The past can hurt, but the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Really? You are watching a lot of children's movies, Simon. Thank you very much. It is indeed Rafiki the baboon. Very wise. All right, now this one's going to be quick. I don't have any prizes, but let's see who gets this one first. Okay, I'm not sure how wise that is, but apparently all of those characters are supposed to be some of the wisest characters in the movies. So let me see what I've got up next. So I'll just flick to the next slide.
An event.
No, stop that one. That's great. That screen's excellent. Thank you. In fact, let's open in prayer so that we can recompose ourselves after all of those quotes. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are perfect in love and perfect in wisdom. Lord, I ask that what's said this morning and the message that comes across would be from you. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. Amen. Let's recap. We are in a series on wisdom. If you were here on New Year's Day, Dave covered wisdom from Proverbs, and he said some of these things. He said that wisdom, God's wisdom, is woven into all of life, and we should seek him to gain understanding. He talked to us about wisdom, God's wisdom being in the scriptures, and this great phrase, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let me just touch on this for those of you who weren't here, because the fear of the Lord is a really important concept as we talk about wisdom. It's not about being scared. Fear of the Lord is about a right relationship with God. It's about a right attitude. It's about knowing that God possesses all wisdom. And that it's only through worshipful and reverent submission that we can really find the hidden treasures that wisdom has to offer. That's fear of the Lord. It's a much broader concept than what we often understand fear as. Last week, if you were here, Mark Lilly gave us some great examples. The first thing he talked about was saying wisdom is the skill of living. I thought that was really helpful, the skill of living. It's very practical. And he went on to point out that it's not necessarily intelligence, because he used, I think there were four animals in Proverbs 30 that were called wise. And then he said he used the GPS. Wisdom is like a GPS for life. So I thought they were great examples. Today, our big idea that we're going to move on to, and we've just read Proverbs 3. Sue, is there a... Let me see if this is going to work. No, okay. The big idea for today is that we grow in wisdom by thinking and acting intentionally. Let me restate that. We grow in wisdom by thinking and acting intentionally. And we're going to unpack that through these verses. So let's start in verse 1. It says, my son. My son. Let's just hold it there for a minute. This helps us with the context. Because Proverbs is about a parent teaching a child. That's our context for all of these things that we'll look at this morning. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 8, Proverbs says, listen to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. What we're looking at here is sort of generationally passed down wisdom. That's helpful as we go through. Let's continue in verse 1. Do not forget my teaching. What do you think about that? Have you ever forgotten teaching? I'm not talking about stuff. I'm not talking about facts or, you know, quotes from movies, which obviously none of you forget. I'm talking about patterns and principles. Because I think that we as humans do tend to forget some of the things that we're taught. I think often we get comfortable and we sort of forget how we got there. We forget the hard work that we were taught as to how we got to this great comfortable position. Other times we get sort of... We forget because of a pressure or because of a temptation that's come to us, and we sort of forget what we've been taught. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples. If you think about the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, they were rescued from captivity. They were rescued and taken through a miraculous parted sea. And then on the other side, in the relative comfort of not being in captivity, what did they do? Complain about food. Turned away from God. But it wasn't just then, was it? Now we are the Israelites. We've arrived in this beautiful land of milk and honey. Now we're comfortable. What happens? We start to forget. There's a great quote in Hosea chapter 13, verse 6. When I fed them, they were satisfied. They became proud. Then they forgot me. But it's not just the people in the Bible, is it? I've got a personal story. In my youth, I used to go to the gym a bit more often than I do now, and I wanted to learn to get strong. And I knew that to do that, I needed to learn some techniques. And one of the exercises that I learned was called a deadlift. Now, I don't know if any of you have, some of you I'm sure will have done this, but not all of you. So let me explain what a deadlift is. A deadlift is where you've got a bar on the ground and lots of weight packed on each side. And the idea of a deadlift is that all you do is you bend down, you grab the bar, and you lift it up to about here. That's a deadlift. It's only a couple of feet. But if you YouTube deadlift, there are people that use hundreds of kilograms for this exercise. I think something like 400 kilograms is the world record. And it's amazing. 400, like half a car sort of doing this. Technique is critical. You'd also know that back and how you do it, it's important. So I learned this technique. And for the first little while, I followed it, and I actually got stronger. I started to be able to lift more and more. That wasn't a very good one, sorry. There we go, that's better. But you know what happened over time? I got stronger, and I sort of started to forget the technique. I actually started to trust in my muscles that I could do this thing. So that over time, eventually, I got to the point where I thought, I'm getting pretty strong here. I'm going to attempt a new personal record. So I put on a bit too much weight, did the wrong technique, ooh, and that was the back for quite a while. I couldn't walk, couldn't sleep, had to go to the chiropractor for a long time. There were some really bad consequences. It could have been worse. Thankfully, it wasn't long term. But there were some bad consequences from having forgotten what I'd been taught. Let's go on to verse 2. Keep my commands in your heart. Keep my commands in your heart. I vividly remember at a church that I used to go to, the pastor there was talking about memorizing scripture. And he said, everybody stand up. Now, don't do this. This is just a story. Everybody stand up. So we all stood up. And he said, I want you to stay standing. I want you to stay standing if you can remember as many or more verses than your age. So if you're 20, can you remember and recite 20 scripture verses? If you're 50, you've got a bigger challenge. If you're 70, but I started thinking, well, hang on, that's one a year. So for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, Jesus wept. As he said that, this auditorium had about 1,000 people in it. There were a handful of people standing. He made this great point that scripture memorization is important, but that's not this point. This is so much more. This is talking about keep my commands in your heart. In your heart means something much deeper than just a top of mind being able to recall something. Your heart's the wellspring of who you are. It's talking about your will, your attitude, about all the things that make up you. And I found this great quote from a theologian called John Kitchen that sums it up nicely. Have a listen to this. The word of God is to penetrate, subdue, reign in every cognition of our brain, every flame of passion and tongue of temper that leaps from the fire of our affections, and every choice, both contemplated and embraced. I love that quote. It's a bit complex, but I think it brings across the point that this is something deep. And I searched the internet for a good story about wisdom, and I'm going to tell you the favourite one that I found because I think it illustrates this point again. There was a wise woman walking through a forest, and she came across a stream, and in the stream she saw a precious gem, a big gem. So she bent down to pick it up, using correct gem picking up techniques. And she popped it in her bag. And she kept walking. And a little later, she met another traveller. And this was a really hungry traveller, a bit dishevelled. And he said, oh, I'm really hungry. Can you give me something to eat? So she opened up her bag and was about to give him something to eat when he said, hey, wow, look at that gemstone. Could I have that? And she said, sure. So he took it. And a little surprised, but rejoicing in his luck, off he went. This gemstone was worth probably his entire life's worth of food. But a couple of days, he went back. And he found her again, and he said, I want you to have this back. Because I want you to give me what it is inside you that allowed you to give me such a valuable gemstone just that quickly. What a beautiful story about what it means to have deep in your heart something. And that's what Proverbs is telling us. It's telling us that wisdom is deep. It's deeply embedded in our hearts. But it's also telling us that we need to think and act intentionally as we grow that. So part of this big idea, and Sue, I don't know if we can go on to the next one or if I'm working now. There we go. So part of this big idea as we grow this out is that we grow in wisdom by thinking and acting intentionally in ways that embed God's guidance deep in our heart. Let's move on to verse 2. As I was preparing this, I thought, wow, I'm going to spend all this time on just verse 1? That's the amazing thing about God's word, isn't it? There's so much in there. Verse 2, well, the style of Proverbs is a number of couplets. So there's two parts to it. And the first part sort of told us what the action was, and the next part tells us the consequence. So what's the consequence for not forgetting and keeping my commands in your heart? For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Peace and prosperity here is slightly different to what we normally understand peace and prosperity. It's actually a Hebrew word called shalom. You might have heard of shalom. And shalom has this broad meaning of well-being and health, and internal contentment and fulfillment. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? So let me think. Don't forget the command, teachings, keep it in my heart, and long life, shalom, that sounds awesome. Hang on, though. Do you know of an example where that's not true? I think as we read these things, we have to be careful not to think that this is a guarantee and a promise. What we're reading through here, back to our context, is principles. It's principles of life that we're reading about. It's a little bit like if you took the manufacturer's instructions for using something, your car or your computer. The manufacturer's instructions tell you the optimal way to use that thing or the optimal way for the thing to function. We're God's creation, and this is his instruction manual, if you like, the guidance on how to use it. I remember as a kid, Mum used to tell me, and I'm going to get this wrong, tooth, fruit, five veg, piece of meat, bit of milk, no ice cream, something like that. You know, healthy food. And Dad used to say, save more than you spend, son. Good financial advice. And so I grew up thinking, this is the wisdom. This is a guarantee. But of course, life's more complex than that, isn't it? Because you can eat really well all your life, but then the external factor of maybe sickness or disease can come in. Or you can be a shocking saver and a prolific spender, and then an inheritance kicks in, and hey, that principle didn't work either, but kind of in a good way. Life's complex. And what I wanted to bring out of this verse is also to say that, and I think Dave might have touched on this the first week that we did this series, God in his wisdom has given us Proverbs as a book of principles. This is how life generally works. But he's also given us the books of Job and Ecclesiastes, which scholars put them together and call them wisdom literature. And between them, they explore the extremities of life, the complexities, the difficulties. So if you're struggling this morning, go and look at Job and Ecclesiastes as well. Let's move on to verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Again, here are some terms that don't directly translate. So what I did was I looked at three different translations of this particular verse, and we'll get a sense of what the Hebrew writers were trying to say. In the New International Version, that's what we often read here, the NIV, it says love and faithfulness. In the New Living Translation, it's loyalty and kindness. And in King James, it's mercy and truth. This verse is trying to get across a love that God has for us that's not bounded by laws. It's not severed when we do something wrong. It's a love that goes beyond what we deserve. That's what this is talking about. It's an idea that I think I aspire to, that we aspire to. An idea that we could love others like that and we could love God like this. But it requires intentional thinking and acting. What sort of intentional thinking and acting? Well, here we get some more guidance. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. That's the rest of verse 3. Now, bind, both of those could be literal, but also figurative. Bind them around your neck is a little bit saying the external actions, the external things that people can see you do. And writing it on the tablet of your heart is the internal, the attitudinal. This is the think and the act again. So this is the guidance we're getting. We grow in wisdom by thinking and acting intentionally in ways that deepen our love for God and others. So this is our second part of our big idea. Let's go to the couplet piece. What happens if we do that? We will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Again, the principle here is if we show that sort of love, that's the way life's supposed to be lived, and we'll get favour from God and man. In fact, very interesting that in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, this exact phrase was used of Jesus. I don't know if you remember that Jesus, when he was a boy, stayed at the temple when Mum and Dad sort of went back home. And they came back and they found him, and right at the end of that chapter, Luke chapter 2, verses 52 says this, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. But let's just go back to what we said earlier. Favour with man doesn't tend to end with being killed on a cross, does it? But that wasn't the end. Jesus rose to be with the Father at the right-hand side of the Father. So that's an interesting little glimpse into this idea that these are good principles. This is how life generally works. But sometimes we'll only get a glimpse of how they work out. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. But before we do, let me tell you one of the best movies I've watched in the last 6 or 12 months. It's a movie called Hachi. Now, I don't know if you've seen it. I think it came out a few years ago. But I want to tell you it. So it's kind of a spoiler, but actually you can still watch the movie even when you know what happens. Hutchie's a movie about a dog. It's a true story. This little dog was kind of adopted by his master, found him at a train station, adopted the dog, and they went home and they just grew to be best friends. They had a wonderful time together, man and his dog, lots of fun. And it got to the point where whenever the master came home on the train, Hutchie figured out that the train whistle symbolised master's coming home, and he managed to escape out of the garden. He got down to the train station and he would sit and wait. And the master would get off the train and go, "Ah, Hutchie." And this happened for a while. It started happening regularly. Hutchie would get down there. And the villagers started to know and see that Hutchie was coming down. And it just became a bit of a normal thing. But then one day, the master died suddenly, very unexpected, quite young. And the master's family, you know, looking after all the possessions and things, and they took Hutchie off to where they lived, some way away. And the next day, what they found was that Hutchie wasn't there anymore. You see, Hutchie escaped and went back to the train station for 5 o'clock train, waiting for the master. Now, villagers called the family and they said, "Look, well, the dog's here, and do you want to come and get him?" So they came and got him, took him back. But he escaped again, and after a few times of this happening, they said, "You know what? We just got to let Hutchie do what Hutchie's going to do." So Hutchie went and found an old train carriage, which he made home, and he just slept under that. And every day, Hutchie would go back at the 5 o'clock whistle and be at the train station waiting. In fact, for almost 10 years after the master died, Hutchie was still there, whether it was pouring with rain, where it was glorious and baking hot sunshine or snow, Hutchie was there. You see, Hutchie never let love and faithfulness leave him. It didn't matter what the circumstance. The fact that the master hadn't been there for year after year didn't change the fact that deep, deep in Hutchie's heart, there was a love and a faithfulness. "I'm going to wait for the master." What a beautiful story. Why make a movie out of that? I think the reason you make the movie is because it makes grown, tough men who can do deadlifts find strange, salty deposits on their cheeks. It speaks to all of us about this love and faithfulness that I think we aspire to, that we know God gives us, but that we aspire to as well. Do you like this story? Go and get the movie if you do. I really recommend it. It's great for the kids as well. It raises the question for me, what about us? What about us? Are there circumstances perhaps in our lives where the indicators are God's kind of absent? He's not really doing what I want him to do. He's not doing what I expected. Are there circumstances where we see that and we, you know what, we're just walking away or we're a bit distant? I'll leave that as an open question. The big idea is that we grow in wisdom by thinking and acting intentionally in ways that deepen our love for God and others. Let's move on to verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Maybe this is one of the Bible verses that you memorized. I think that's one of the, you know, my top three is probably here. So you probably know this verse. Let's just look at it briefly, though. One of the things it's not saying, lean not on your own understanding. It's not saying don't use your brains. God's given us our brains. He's given us reason. He's given us experience and education. We need to use those things as well as his word and the Holy Spirit to guide us through. So we need to use those things. But I think what this verse is saying is that when things happen, as we go through life, we need to take a wider angle look, a different perspective on things. Sue? We're about to watch something on the screen, that's why I've stopped talking.
An event seen from one point of view gives one impression. Seen from another point of view, it gives quite a different impression. But it's only when you get the whole picture you can fully understand what's going on.
It's an oldie but a goodie. I thought that fit really well here. Sorry about the quality. It's the best we could get. But you get the point? Things look really different from different perspectives. God can see it all. He has infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge. We get but a narrow glimpse of things. The big idea is that we grow in wisdom by thinking and acting intentionally in ways that develop our trust in God. Ways that develop our trust in God and trust that his point of view has everything working together. The next piece of this verse says, in all your ways submit to him. Now, if we're in a Pentecostal church, I would say, in how many ways do we submit to him? And you would all say, and then I'd say, that was terrible. I would say, in how many of our ways do we submit to him? And you would say, but we're Baptists, we don't do that. In all your ways, submit to him. And here, I'm going to draw on Forrest Gump. That's all I've got to say about that. He will make straight our paths. Okay, so if we take this view on life, here's the couplet coming in. If we take this view on life, we trust. We lean not on our own understanding. We submit to him. He's going to make our paths straight. Now, again, a little understanding, a little explanation of the text here. This is not talking about a road that's dead straight. This is actually talking about a road free from obstacles and potholes. It's a road that's level, if you want to think about it like that. So if we continue in our lives to view it in a way that we trust God, he will remove the potholes, remove the obstacles. Let me touch, though, and come back. I talked about glimpses before. I want to just touch on some limitations to some of the illustrations that I'm using. In fact, I think we use all the time. Most of the books that we read or the movies that we watch, they bring nice closure, don't they? You get to see the reason. Somebody goes through some suffering and you get to understand at the end, that's why. There was a reason. It was better for them. It was better for somebody. Something worked out well. But I guess we all know that in our lives, that's not always easy to see. Sometimes there's tragedy, there's sickness, there's pain, there's suffering, and we cannot figure out why. We can't figure out why immediately, and sometimes we might never know why. And it's in those times that we can use this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And one of the things that helps me do that is looking at the whole picture that the Bible portrays. The Bible portrays a God who over hundreds of years is pursuing his people in love. He gives us this opportunity to be redeemed, and he pursues us relentlessly. But it's not just that big picture. The good news of the Bible is that there's a big picture, but there's a picture for you and you and me. Jesus came, God came on earth in the flesh. That's a personal thing for each of us. So between those two things, it gives me enormous encouragement that I can trust in the Lord with all my heart. It gives me encouragement that this straight road may well be uphill. It might feel tough. But God's taken out the potholes of despair and he's removed the obstacles of hopelessness. Let me close this morning with an application and illustration. First of all, just recapping, what have we covered? Some practical advice on being wise. Don't forget godly ways you've been taught. Keep them in your heart. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Trust in the Lord, not on your own understanding, and submit to him. What about you? What about me this morning? Are there any ways that you might have forgotten some of the teaching? I know there are for me. Are there any instances where for us we've let love and faithfulness start to leave us? Are there any areas we're not submitting? Well, I guess in some of those areas, what we need to do is come back and re-look and relearn and re-embed God's wisdom in our hearts. For some of us this morning, seeking wisdom will be just about that journey of spending time with God, using his word, spending intimate time with him. For others, though, for others of us, there might be a point that we can think about where we need to stop and reorient. Now, if that speaks to you, this last story is something that I thought was really powerful. And I've drawn on a number of wise people, but I thought I'd leave the best till last. This story is about Jesus, the wisest person who ever walked the earth. You see, this story out of John 8 is where there was a woman, and this woman had forgotten what she'd been taught. She had let love and faithfulness leave her. And she wasn't submitting to God in all of her ways. In fact, she had been caught in adultery. And there was a crowd who'd found her, and they were ready with their stones to condemn and punish by death, because that's what the law said she deserved. And they said, "Jesus, this is what the law says. Give us the go-ahead." Slightly difficult position for Jesus, the law did say. Very difficult position for the woman. But what did Jesus do in his wisdom? You know this story. He said, "Let anyone who is without sin cast the first stone." And one by one, they disappeared. And then he turned to the woman and he said, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you? Well, then neither do I. Go and sin no more." You see, Jesus came to give us this shalom. Jesus came with wisdom in a way that he wants us not to be condemned. There is no condemnation now for those in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. So if we're thinking, "I need to stop and reorient, there's that part of my life I need to change," we can have so much confidence that God, Jesus, love us so much, not with condemnation, but they want us to grab this wisdom so that we can have life to the full. I'm going to close in prayer now. And before I do, I'm just going to recap the big ideas. Then I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to just suggest that we just sit just for a minute. Just do business with God if there's something in your heart this morning, and the musicians will come up and play. So quickly to recap what we've covered this morning, we grow in wisdom by thinking and acting intentionally in ways that embed God's guidance in our hearts, in ways that deepen our love for God and others, and in ways that develop our trust for God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning and your message. And thank you for your word, that there's so much in it. Holy Spirit, I pray you would come this morning and touch our hearts. Show us your wisdom in areas that we need to think and act differently. And Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for coming to this earth to show us that you want us to find that wisdom, not in a condemning way, but in a way that brings us life and peace and hope. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.